Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to The Junks, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Right now, we are headed out to the BetQL guest hotline. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that first bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Get 3 free days of BetQL access. Just download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com. We're joined by Matt Verderam, national NFL reporter for FanSided. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you?
We are doing well. How impressed are you by what Brian Daboll has done with this Giants squad? He comes in his rookie campaign, leads them to a playoff berth. They go on the road. They beat the Minnesota Vikings at their stadium. Daniel Jones, I'll be honest, I thought the Giants made the right move by not picking up his fifth-year option, but what Daboll has done with him is beyond impressive to me, especially with a bunch of cast-offs at wideout. Saquon Barkley is back to full health. This looks like a pretty dangerous Giants team, and it's being led by a rookie head coach who is impressing.
Daboll's done a great job. I think he or Sirianni's coach of the year, and I would vote for Daboll. In fact, in our Pro Football Writers Awards, I voted for him last night. I think he is the coach of the year. What they've done this season is nothing short of incredible. And you figure that they went 4-13 last year, and it wasn't like they had an offseason where they went out and did a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, they basically were like, okay, we're gonna rebuild this thing. We're going to build it in our image with he and Joe Shane. And he has really turned Daniel Jones from a guy who, I'm with you, I had no problem with them declining his fifth-year option. He didn't earn it. To being a guy now that I think you have to bring back. I don't know that you have to go out and give him a 5-year contract, but I think you've at least got to bring him back on a little bit of a shorter-term deal. He's earned that. He went on the road in the playoffs. He had 379 total yards. And I know Minnesota's defense is not good, but the Giants made it look easy all afternoon. It's going to be an interesting game in Philadelphia on Saturday night. Like, the Eagles should win. They're the better team. But the Giants are not an easy out, and Daboll will have something for Philadelphia after seeing them a few times this year.
Yeah. But you're right about the Vikings D. I mean, Jones threw for 300 yards 3 times this year. 2 of them were against Minnesota. And we were kind of talking about at the end of that game. What were your thoughts on just kind of the play calls by O'Connell for Minnesota the last 2 drives where they couldn't get Jefferson involved? And, of course, Kirk throws the 3-yard pass on 4th and 8. I'm not blaming Kirk for the loss. His numbers were really good, but that's what the media will do.
Yeah. The reality is that game will be remembered in Minnesota for that play. It will, right. Fair or not. So, I thought O'Connell, for the most part, did a good job in the game, but you're right. At the end, you've got to find a way. You've got to isolate Jefferson. You've got to do whatever you've got to do. If that's putting him in motion, if that's clearing out for him, I mean, that he's the kind of player, he demands that kind of attention from the Giants. You've got to figure out a way to isolate him. They couldn't do it. I thought most of that game was lost for Minnesota because the defense, which has been off all year long, just couldn't get off the field. The only time they got off the field was when Darius Slayton dropped the ball and he was wide open.
Right.
And it would have been another first down. And with Cousins on 4th and 8, look, I get you're under pressure. I know they got the pocket to collapse up the middle. If you're Cousins, though, you've got to throw that ball past the sticks. And look, if it's incomplete, fine. That ball's got to go down the field. You cannot end your season checking down for 3 yards. It's inexcusable.
All right, let's talk about the Bills-Dolphins game. So just watching it, you know, the Bills are just killing Miami first quarter. They go up 17-0. But from the second quarter on, I felt like Buffalo played a D-minus game. I really did. I couldn't believe how many balls Waddle dropped. A couple of those would have been for huge gains and maybe led to at least field goals. And, you know, overall, Thompson's numbers weren't great. He threw the two picks, but man, Allen was careless
competing.
Allen was careless with the ball in a few possessions, and they're fortunate to get out of that one. Do you think they kind of got that out of their system? And how do you feel about the Bills-Bengals rematch?
You know, I don't know with the Bills that they got out of the system, because the Bills have done this now for 2 months, where Allen throws these mind-numbing picks. Now, to be fair to them, one of them was not his fault.
One of them wasn't his fault. You're right. You're right.
Right. I mean, but the other one, you're like, why do you throw that ball? I mean, you know, going into that game, the only way you're going to lose to Skylar Thompson is if you just hand them the game with turnovers. And the Bills did just that, everything they could to hand the game. In fact, to your point about Waddle dropping passes, Kosicki had one right down the seam as well. If they can catch the ball, the Dolphins win that game.
Yep.
And that's probably also true if they could have managed the clock. So, you know, Miami really, in some ways, handed the game right back to Buffalo. I think they're in real trouble against Cincinnati. And not just based off that game, because the playoffs can be a week-to-week thing. But, you know, they have not been the same defense without Von Miller. They don't get the kind of pressure that they got with Miller. They are not great on the back end. You know, Tre'Davious White's come off that torn ACL, and he's been okay, but he's not been the Tre'Davious White we saw pre-injury. Cincinnati, the only concern I have with the Bengals in that game is, can they block? Because they're probably going to be down 60% of their offensive line. So can they block enough to let Burrow take advantage of what I think is a pretty vulnerable Bills defense? Skylar Thompson, you're right, his numbers were not good. If they catch the ball, his numbers are all of a sudden a heck of a lot better. Buffalo, right now, they're very one-dimensional on offense. It's bombs away down the field. And if they don't hit those passes, they go in stops and starts. They have more turnovers than anybody else in the league this year. That's kind of who they've been. It's kind of who they are. I think the Bengals actually go in there with a pretty good shot to win that game, even though it's on the road.
Hey, real quick, before we move on, can you explain that last sequence with McDaniel and Miami on the 3rd and 2, they run Wilson. I thought they should have reviewed that. It was very close to a first down. But anyway, so it's 4th and 1. They actually reset the clock. So McDaniel had about 50 seconds to get that play in, and they right. still couldn't get it in. They get a delay. What was going on there?
It looked just like mass confusion. And after the game, McDaniel said, well, we thought it was a first down, and then we had to change personnel, and I understand all that, but first of all, if you're Mike McDaniel, you have a down marker right next to you and right across the field in front of your face. Mm. You should know what down it is. I'm sorry. And to your point, if you think it's that close, then you should be screaming, hey, look, he didn't have a timeout. The problem is, you can still ask for a measurement. Like, if the ball's that close to a first down, if it's reasonable, you can ask for a measurement, and they are compelled to give you one. So I don't know why McDaniel didn't just start screaming at the official, measure it. The problem, though, for him, he didn't have a timeout to challenge it.
Right.
They'd already blown all their timeouts because they couldn't manage the clock throughout the game. It was a bad job by McDaniel. I thought, for the most part, he did a pretty good job that game, just a half minute. But the time management portion of it for Miami was a disaster all day, and it came back and it bit him at the worst possible time.
Joined by Matt Verderam, national NFL reporter for FanSided. So the early game Saturday is Jags at the Kansas City Chiefs. Jags probably a year ahead of schedule with what they're doing at this point, winning a playoff game. But, man, that offense could be really scary next year when they add Calvin Ridley to the mix with the receivers they already have. Evan Ingram's been reborn at tight end with Trevor Lawrence there and Etienne in the backfield. Like, I think they're going to lose the Chiefs, but that's a frisky team. It's only going to get better heading into 2023.
It is. And, you know, they're a dangerous team this weekend in one regard. They have nothing to lose. Nobody thinks they're going to win that game. If they could lose 45-10 and it's still a great year for them, you know, that liberates you a little bit in games like this. Where for Kansas City, it's a catastrophe if they lose to Jacksonville. So you do have that. Now, the reality is, look, I agree with what you said. They are a year ahead of schedule. They went from being the number one overall pick 2 years in a row to winning a division and winning one of the craziest playoff games you'll ever see. I think the problem for Jacksonville in this game is I don't know how you stop Mahomes. They just simply defensively They don't have a big-time pass rush. If you don't rush him, you're dead in the water. You know, they played each other back in Week 11, and the Chiefs gave up an onside kick, and they were minus three in the turnover ratio, and they won by double digits and had 500 yards of offense.
Wow.
So I think you're asking a lot for Jacksonville to go in there. The other side of it, too, is Jacksonville, that's such an emotional win that they just had. It's very hard to then the following week get right back up to the point you have to be in a playoff game, especially to go in and play a Chiefs team off a bye in their building. I think Jacksonville's season probably does end here, but it's been a great year no matter how it shakes Saturday afternoon.
Do you expect something to happen? Getting back to that Jacksonville game, do you expect something with Staley this week? Or, you know, I've heard from a bunch of different people, you know, the talking heads say that Spanos just won't go out and spend a bunch of money on a coach. But I don't know how you survive blowing a 27-0 lead, especially after last year, too. So I don't foresee him surviving it, but maybe he does.
You know, I wrote my column, Stack in the Box, on Monday. I wrote that I think, you know, the Chargers' best course of action is to move on. But, you know, everybody just immediately was like, well, Sean Payton, because he lives in Southern California. And it's like, yeah, but here's the problem with that. Sean Payton is going to want control. Mm-hmm. The Chargers are not going to move on, I don't believe, from Tom Telesco, who's been their GM for over a decade. Payton is going to want to be the highest paid coach in the NFL. The Chargers aren't going to make him that.
Right.
The Chargers, if you look at their history, they don't pay coaches. The last time they paid a coach was Marty Schottenheimer 20 years ago. That's not who the Spanos family is. It's not what they do. They're embroiled right now in a nasty bit of litigation with each other, with the sister going against some of the brothers. So they've got a lot of financial ties. Plus, they just had to pay over $500 million to the NFL to relocate. So they're not in the mood exactly to be laying out a ton of money. I think there's a better chance that Lombardi, the offensive coordinator, goes, because I just don't know how it's defensible in any way, shape, or form to bring him back. But while I think they should move on from Brendan Staley, I think there's a real chance that they don't. And if they don't, I just don't know how you could argue that you should expect anything different. I would even say that, frankly, what they did in Week 18 was even more egregious. That they played all their starters for 3.5 quarters and got Mike Williams hurt. So Staley has shown that his judgment is shaky at best. And then to top it off with that loss in the playoffs, yeah, it's something that I would imagine if you're a Chargers fan, you're not too excited to see him back on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, you can't make that up. All right, last game to talk about, 49ers and the Cowboys. They played last year. San Francisco went down there and beat them. There was a lot of pressure on Dak to kind of overcome that loss this year.
Yep. And
they get the big win last night. He was really good. Now they go out and play San Francisco and Purdy. But last year, Kyle Shanahan didn't have McCaffrey, and he's a difference maker. Talk to me about that matchup. What do you think?
San Francisco is the better team, and it should win. The only thing I will say, though, is for the Cowboys, not quite to the extent that I just mentioned with Jacksonville, but that game last night was liberating for Dallas. I mean, if you watch Mike McCarthy in the locker room after the game, he was whooping it up pretty good. I think, you know, there's so much pressure on them. Hey, if you lose this game, does McCarthy get fired? Do they bring in Sean Payton? You know, Dak was so bad down the stretch of the game in Washington. Like, does he bounce back? He has a huge game. The defense looks great. The one thing about that game, if I'm the Niners, that it would concern me, is can Dallas make this really uncomfortable for Purdy with their front?
Yep.
Can they turn this into a game where Purdy is constantly trying to run for his life? Because you saw that at times against Seattle, who could not get pressure for much of the game. But when they did, Purdy would scramble out of the back of the pocket. He'd throw the ball away. Can they do that with Parsons and Lawrence and Armstrong? Can they turn this into a game where that kid gets really uncomfortable? That's, if I'm Dallas, that's my aim the whole week, is look, throughout the course of the season for Purdy, he's really not faced any adversity at all. Can you get him into a spot where all of a sudden the screws start to tighten? Because I think if you can, you got a shot. Dallas is going to be in that game. I think the Niners find a way, but the Cowboys have a real chance to go out there and find a way to win.
Matt, thanks as always for the time. Appreciate you joining us. This is Matt Verderam, national NFL reporter for Fanside. We'll have you on again soon.
Thank you, buddy.
Sounds good.
Yep.
Thanks a lot. Take care.
All right, pal.
You can follow him at Matt Verderam on Twitter. That's Verderame. Coming up next, we'll have the latest on the Commanders sale. Is Jeff Bezos of Amazon on the outside looking in?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
This portion of the Junk's brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas. So I'm stealing this directly from J.P. Finley's Twitter, at J.P. Finley NBCS. He posted this 12 hours ago. Lots of news on the Commander's potential sale front. Mm-hmm. Per multiple sources, sales expected to happen soon, maybe by March. So that's within two-plus months.
Mm-hmm. That's 6 weeks away.
Todd Boehly apparently is out.
Why is he out? Last I had heard on like Saturday, he was in.
Apparently explain who Todd Boehly is.
The landing guy. Who owns like the soccer team.
He owns Chelsea.
He owns part of the Dodgers.
He owns part of the Lakers.
Okay.
He owns part of the Lakers. I think he owns like 20% of the Dodgers.
Okay.
I mean, he's got a pretty...
So LA-based?
I don't know. Sounds like it.
Yeah. No, I don't... I saw a couple people tweet different things.
Big club that he's the face of. The Dodgers.
And they say it's a disaster.
Chelsea's been a disaster since he's taken over.
Some people have said Boehly is like Dan Snyder version 2.0 meddler. And my response to that is anybody's better than Dan Snyder.
Like, probably.
Anybody's an upgrade over Snyder.
Chelsea fans. Like, I mean, there are a lot of them wrong line saying like, he was brutal.
You prefer not to have a meddler, whoever takes over next. Mm-hmm. But. Anybody's going to be an upgrade over Dan Snyder, in my opinion.
Most owners are going to be meddlers when they start.
Anyway, that guy's out. Who's in?
Josh Harris.
Well, Jeff Bezos also likely out, but the door is not closed on him.
And JP supposedly hasn't put in a bid, right?
Hasn't put in a formal bid. JP explains in the article that he could be biding his time to perhaps purchase the Drab Hawks.
Oh.
Because they're either in a trust at this point. Drab, you're the Drab Hawks expert. Is it in the Allen family trust?
Judy Allen, his sister, runs a team, but there is a timeline when she's supposed to sell the team.
Okay, so sources, I guess, are speculating that he is cooling on the purchase here. There's, obviously the friction between the Snyders and Bezos because he owns the Washington Post. They don't get along.
So right.
People were thinking he's never going to sell Bezos.
The only way that Bezos would get it is if he overbid, which he clearly would not do. Mm-hmm. He's not going to offer $8 billion to a team that's worth $6 just to get it.
So
just
who's
because
left?
He's got...
Josh Harris, it says, might be the top candidate.
And by the way, that's a name I heard from day one.
I've never heard of him.
Josh Harris.
Who is he? He owns the
Josh
Sixers
Harris,
and the Devils.
He's local. He's he's from Chevy Chase. Yeah. I worked with his brother. I've said this a million times. Mm-hmm. I worked with his brother at Advantage International, also known as Octagon. His brother Gabe, who now works up there with the Sixers. But Josh Harris owns the Devils and the Sixers. And he made his money in an investment firm.
Is Josh Harris related to our guy Joey Harris, who he went to elementary school with?
No.
But here's the other thing. All these guys have baggage. We've heard things in Philly, it's not necessarily all roses.
Right.
It's silly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to my guy
Byron
Allen?
I've heard that Josh Harris isn't the easiest guy to get along with.
Yeah.
You've heard that?
Byron Allen out?
He didn't have that coin. He don't have $6 billion.
He's on the Weather Channel.
Josh Harris's net worth, by the way, $7 billion.
Yeah, he's got stupid money.
I guess all these guys just borrow. I don't know how the hell they do it.
Well, they got the money. We have no idea how they get the money, how much they have. But
the good news is...
He's certainly a player.
Regardless, the good news is it appears that you're going to have a new owner by March.
That would be
incredible.
That's
what it sounds like.
Right?
That's what it sounds like.
Which, by the way... tells me that Ron Rivera is not as safe as you might think. Because I could see him getting whacked in April.
It's possible, but again, all your coaches are going to be hired by them.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
What kind of staff are you going to put together in April when you've already had some OTAs and you got the draft then? I mean, I don't think you can do that.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think you can do that.
I think Ron heads into He's going to head into lame duck year four, even though he has 5 years on his deal.
And unless he has a special year, I don't think he survives it. And I can't imagine having a special year if Sam Howell's a quarterback.
Unsurvivable for Ron to make it to year five.
I like Sam Howell, and he may turn out to be their starting quarterback for years. I can't believe how excited our fan base is for Sam Howell. I just looked on our Instagram page, Sports Junkies Radio. 70%. 82%.
Wow.
On the other one, it was right around 70%.
I mean, that's what desperate people do. They get excited for the shiny new toy when every other toy is broken.
There are shinier toys. There are more proven toys.
It's a weird dichotomy right now in the playoffs. You know, the final eight teams, the AFC are all top pedigree, high draft choices. Mm-hmm. Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, a couple of those guys, number one picks. The other guys, you know, first round picks, all four AFC quarterbacks. But in the NFC, you can make an argument. You know, Jalen Hurts was a second rounder. Mm-hmm. Okay. Daniel Jones, he was a first round pick.
Yep.
And a high first round pick.
Fifth or something.
But then
Dak was not
and Purdy, last guy in the draft.
Yeah, it is crazy when you compare the two conferences.
I mean,
I'd still rather go the AFC route.
Purdy's a great example, though, because he's got this remarkable team around him. Mm-hmm. So he could just kind of step in and just be really solid, which is what he's been. And you know, everybody looks great. I'm definitely at the position for me as being a lifelong Skins fan where I'm ready to just make the team as good as we can around them. And so whatever bum we put in at quarterback has a better chance versus spending our resources on bringing in some higher name guy and still having the same offensive line issues, still only basically having two linebackers and like a 40-year-old John Bostic, you know. I'd rather upgrade the entire team because I think we've seen other teams be successful with that route. Because you know, because quarterbacks are butt hard.
What are they going to do?
Trying to find one for 30 years.
I think those are the outlaws. I think the teams that are successful with them, let's build everything else up and plop the guy in.
Well, let's build. What's the downside? What's the downside? You have a better all around team, and if you fail, then you have a better team to plug in your next quarterback.
The downside is it could be a potential lost year. So
could be.
They
could
go. Years.
It could be 5-12.
So we have the 30 lost years.
If Sam Howell proves to be not worthy of a starting job,
it's great to know that.
Let's say 5 games in, he's got 7 interceptions.
Then you're playing Heineke
four
again,
touchdowns.
You're 1-4.
By the way, it's not fair. 5 games. But if you want to make that evaluation, sure.
I mean,
it's not fair.
Rivera did with Haskins.
Yeah, it's
but
he inherited Haskins.
Yeah. I know, but my point is, I don't think he gave him 5. I think he gave him 4.
I know. Well, guys, like, I mean,
sometimes you can
just
see
the way it is now that we only give guys 4 or 5 games, but it's not fair.
I'm just ready. I'm already. What's the date today? The 17th of January, 2023. Lost campaign for the Commanders.
Let's see. They
go adrift.
What would make you say it wasn't lost?
Playoffs.
Eight or nine wins.
What move could they make between now and before the first game where you said, oh, they might have a chance this year? Give me a move that you
make
want.
Make a trade for Lamar Jackson.
Okay. Do you think that's likely? Do you think they would trade Lamar
Jackson?
You're asking
me like, what,
20
like,
miles
like
up?
What would move me? A big, like, earth-shaking deal like that.
Right,
would,
and so what, since we all agree that's probably, like, what, 10% likely?
Probably less than that.
Yeah. So then what's the next option? Okay, not going to be Lamar.
The option is... Trot out Sam Howell. Hopefully you have something. But if you don't, then you're in the tank with 3 or 4 wins, and you have a chance at getting, I know this is a crazy concept, a transformational quarterback.
Those are hard to find. They've not been able to find for 30 years.
But again, you've got to be really bad to only win 3 or 4 games.
Okay, be bad for a year then.
I assume they're handling
it. They're
not trying to be bad. I mean, they're trying to win games even with backup quarterbacks.
I assume they're trying to use Howell because of the potential. And they drafted him. But let's say you bring Howell and Heineke back. It's open competition. Heineke can win it.
Sure.
Heineke can win 9-10 games.
I feel like bringing Heineke back is the ultimate. You're running on a treadmill forever. Like, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
And
I agree, but he's
Heineke,
a great backup if your guy gets hurt.
If I'm Heineke, I don't want to be within 1,000 miles of D.C. and Rivera. because he dumps on me at every opportunity.
Yeah, but he knows what it's like to be out of the league. It's so so
yeah,
easy.
But now
for...
he's got equity. He's got
I know
good games on tape. Now he's got some bad stuff on tape too, but he's got enough good.
Well, you would think there'd be 15 teams. You would think there'd be 15 teams that would want him as a backup.
I mean, a lot of them have backups, but maybe 5 to 10.
You don't think he's better than 15 backups?
Probably. It'd be tough. There's a lot of backups that are better.
I would think he would have a lot.
I'm sure he'll have plenty. Yeah,
but
if it's 15,
the same, by the same token, he likes it here and they like him.
Yeah.
So I mean, money will talk.
But I mean, you brought this up before. If you throw Hal out there, the fan base still does like Heinicke. Is that fair to Hal?
No.
If Hal struggles in the first 2 weeks,
well,
and
it's just like
the fans are screaming Taylor.
You know, if I was going to go with Hal, I would probably just go down with the ship. I'd let him play like 10 games,
as many as he could.
Yeah, because I think it's not fair to anybody to make a 4-game judgment.
I like giving him that sort of leash, but the problem is Ron is coaching for his head coaching life. Like,
yeah,
if he bombs out here, nobody's going to hire him again as a head coach.
Let's get back to Harris. So let's just say Harris is the one who purchases the team. Does anyone believe that Ron can survive this year with a new owner?
Yes.
I think it's
short of something miraculous.
If he found a way to get to the playoffs.
I think it's highly unlikely.
I think if he gets to get to the playoffs.
He could even squeak into the playoffs and his job might be in peril.
Nah, it's hard to do that.
I think if you make the playoffs, you're okay.
Yeah.
I just don't think that the playoffs are likely.
Playoffs
are
unlikely.
If you go with Sam Howell as your number one.
But I also think.
And that doesn't mean that Sam Howell can't be the quarterback of the future. I just think it's unlikely that the 5th-round draft choice is your week one starter and plays 17 games and leads him to the playoffs.
That won't happen. That won't happen.
Seems like two storybook of an outcome.
And I know it's only 6 games, but the fact that the Eagles, the Cowboys.
Wait, hold on.
And the Giants are in the final 8 teams, and I think those teams, I think the Giants are ascending because they'll add, they'll look at what they have, mm-hmm. and they'll add a top-flight receiver. At least
sure.
they should, which will only make Daniel Jones even better.
Yep.
I don't think the Eagles are going anywhere, and I don't think the Cowboys
are
going anywhere.
The Eagles have a top 10 pick, too, because remember they have the Saints draft.
I think the Giants might have a hard time duplicating their success. I'll be honest.
We'll see. Every year there's turnover. Yeah. There are a few teams.
They're going to go out and add like an A.J. Brown type. That's help Jalen Hurts. They're going to help out Daniel Jones.
Let's see what happens.
There's an NFL writer on Bleacher Report who put out his predictions for the QB changes here this upcoming fall. And he's got all the standard ones. Brady to the Raiders, Derek Carr to the Bucks, Garoppolo to the Jets, and to the Commanders.
Who's he got?
Daniel Jones.
Baker Mayfield.
They're not doing that.
Well, you got to bring in somebody to compete with
him. I wouldn't be stunned by that at all, because you bring in Baker, he's not going to command a lot of money. Like, he's
stunned.
A veteran.
Yep.
And if Sam Howell stumbles.
Plus, he kind of looks like Sam Howell.
They do look kind of similar.
They could probably share clothes, share suits.
No. So, here, how about this? So, you saw one of the OCs that they're considering that we haven't talked about is the Falcons quarterback coach, Charles London.
You're back on Mariota.
Mariota's the perfect backup. And it was a similar system. Like, he can run. They want him to run. You bring in Mariota to compete with Howell.
I could see that happening,
that
too.
That one makes sense to me.
And they saw Mariota up close and personal this year.
Yeah, and he did pretty well.
He ran
yeah.
for like 60-something yards
pretty
on
well.
Him, if I remember.
If they want to be run-centric.
Mariota is terrible.
But if they want to be run-centric.
He can only run so much. He can't throw the ball. He can't complete passes. Look at his numbers.
I disagree.
Right, there's a
you
reason,
saw him play one time.
There's
he's,
a reason Arthur Smith was running the ball.
If Mariota beats out Howell, that's a disaster.
I don't think he will.
I don't see him coming here.
I see him as a backup.
I'd rather have Heinicke.
Heinicke
refused
like the ultimate
to run.
Meh.
It was a weird assignment.
All right, well, maybe.
I'm going to blame Turner on that.
I mean, I know you're exaggerating, but he has thrown, for a guy who can't complete a pass, 92 career touchdowns. With only 54 career picks, quarterback rating of 89.3 in his career.
Yeah, I don't think that's
he's solid.
Jason's always
he's solid.
Been a
the problem is
huh? Jason's always been a Mariota hater.
Yeah.
He's
for,
just
for 8 years now.
He's not a good starting quarterback.
It's annoying. He
okay,
doesn't get
fine.
Off.
You watched him. Don't tell me he was good this
no,
year.
He was
wasn't
running.
Good.
He was fine. He did his job of what Arthur Smith asked him to do. Everyone thought the Falcons would win one game. They won like 6 games with him out there.
Well, that's because they had Patterson.
Okay, how'd Ridder do?
Well, I mean,
terrible.
He got benched for Ritter.
The only thing is, it's a little weird. Did he quit on the team? Did Mariota quit on the team?
No, his wife gave birth.
And that's why he left?
Yes. It was misreported.
Mariota is poop.
Paternity leave.
Sorry.
I don't think he's very good, but I think that scenario makes sense.
Oh, he's not very good. You're right
if
about
Mariota
that.
No, beat
but he
out
runs.
How? You don't want to see Mariota as your starting quarterback.
I don't think he'd beat him. I think they're going to give it. I think it's predetermined. I think everything's biased. Mm. I think they're going to give it to Howell. Whoever they bring in, unless they bring in a legit established
starter. Which is a really, it is a pretty crazy turn of events because they didn't want to give the guy a shot all season long. It seemed like Heineke was going to start. It seemed like Heineke was starting. We don't know exactly what happened, but Heineke may have said, oh, play the kid.
In my opinion, they
had now they're going to roll with him?
Well, in my opinion, there was no place where they should have played Howell last year except for when they played him. They played him at the perfect time.
Mariota and Olds.
That makes sense.
Yeah, when they played him, made all sense in the world to me.
Jason. He sat back and watched everything kind of unfold.
Learned. I have no problem with the guy
but
sitting there
learning. But now this could be a totally different system.
Now they're going to throw him to the Wolves.
To fill you in on Marcus Mariota this year, his passer rating was 88.2, which was 21st in the NFL. Better than Matthew Stafford, better than Kyler Murray, better than Derek Carr, better than Justin Fields.
Okay, better well, you know Mac he's not Jones, better than any of those guys.
Better than Russell Wilson.
I mean,
hey.
Better than Carson Wentz.
Hey, is my Mariota
who would you rather have, Kyler Murray or Mariota?
Is my Mariota London thing, is it growing on you? Do you like that theory? If they hire London, bring it in Mariota?
Be better if they brought in Drake London, too.
Mariota couldn't throw the ball to Drake
London. I actually don't think I would hire London.
If you start pronouncing his name correctly, then I'll get behind you.
What, Mariota?
Mariota. Mar, like bar.
What am I saying?
You're saying Mar. Everyone says Mariota. Tilts me. Mariota.
Mariota? Who cares? Try
to point if he's your starting quarterback.
Okay, he's not going to be my starter. Mariota. He's going to be my fifth round pick's backup.
Didn't Goodell call him Mariano, right, like at the draft?
Yeah, yeah.
Big dummy, big stupid. All right, when we come back, we'll tell you about an incident at JFK Airport that would have had Flakes needing new pants while he's sitting on the airplane. We'll tell you about that next on The Fan. Scary weekend for air travel, if you pay attention to those sort of things. Plane crashes in Nepal. I think it killed 72 people. I believe that's the number. Maybe it's a little higher. Killed everybody on board. 20-minute flight. I think it was close to landing. So that plane crashed. Horrible story.
By the way, I got to know how it crashed, because it looked like it was flying fine, and all of a sudden it just tilted to the side and went down.
It's unbelievable.
Have you guys seen the trailer for the new M. Night Shyamalan movie?
I have.
No.
It has just a quick scene, which would haunt me with, like, there's a plane.
Does that knock the cabin?
There's a plane, and instead of, like, flying, it's hard to describe a visual. But
it's just twisting.
It's just a weird
scene.
Falling
out of the sky.
Yes. Did you hear what the problem was in Nepal? Hold on, he's going to turn his mic off.
I think there's video of the engine on fire. I believe they think it hit a bird.
Oh, bird strike. That's what happened to the Sully.
That can happen to any. Yeah. I mean, you know what I mean? I was thinking Nubs, Nepal, you know. Airline or something.
Well, it might have some. That might also be. Sure,
yeah, but I think a bird can take down anything.
Hit Everest.
Huh?
It hit Everest. They didn't see Mount Everest.
Yeah. Well, that's terrifying. But
I have a neighbor from Nepal, by the way.
Okay.
And I guess he celebrates Christmas. He married a woman from Ukraine. They brought in the Ukrainian family, the good people. They still have a Christmas tree in the front yard, all the lights on. They still have, you know, those ones where you see kind of like the faint lights, like it's usually a net that they put down. Can you still have outside lights? I have several neighbors.
I think
the outside lights.
You're mid-January now. Like, I think it's still I'm saying this because this is my personal situation. The lights are still on the bushes because I've been too lazy to take them down, but they're not on. They're just there.
Right.
But some people have, like, I saw somebody yesterday that had the biggest inflatable I've ever seen, like a 12-foot snowman, just still inflated.
There's a house
in January.
There's a house about 10 houses down from me on the corner that Jason would love it. because every one of their windows, they have a Christmas tree. They've got like three big Christmas trees, like one upstairs. I mean, I should say every window, but it's a perfect like triangle of trees all lit up and outside lights.
Yeah, I've got a neighbor who's got the tree up, still lit up every night.
Really?
Still, January 17th. It'll be usually it's early February until they take it down.
Yeah, it's a little too late.
I will say he obviously didn't put Sprite in his tree water. I will say I can almost rationalize extending the amount of time you have it because finally, now we didn't have lights on, but inside we have like a 15 to 18 foot Christmas tree. And that thing is such a bitch to put up, number one,
oh, yeah.
But even more a bitch to take down and fit in the boxes.
Sure.
The boxes, it's 2 years of doing it. They're cooked. Next year, I'm going to have to find a place and just keep the pieces separate.
I'd like next year a hologram of a Christmas tree.
I'm sure you can do that.
You don't even have to do it.
You don't even have to worry about allergies or anything like that.
Hologram, you get to see what you want to see, make you happy, but no fuss, no muss.
It is a pain to break it all down and box it all up and vacuum
really
the floor a billion times. So. Yeah. It's a pain.
We had a confetti cannon for New Year's, and all that confetti stuck in the tree.
So you had to take all that out?
Real quick, before we go,
we got to mention this. Horrible stories in the Southeastern Conference from this past weekend with the football player Georgia and the staffer dying in the car accident.
Terrible. Did they get T-boned or something? What the hell happened?
No, it was a single car accident, I think.
Oh, my God. Were they like going too fast?
It was 2 in the morning, so who knows?
Yeah.
But then at Alabama, Darius Miles, who's from D.C., played high school ball at Teddy Roosevelt. Mm-hmm. He and another local kid, I think the last name was Davis, Michael Lynn Davis from Charles County, arrested for first-degree murder for shooting a girl in her car right out in front of Bryant-Denny Stadium. Right out in front of the stadium.
Like shots right near campus. I mean, like, he had a game earlier in the day. Now, I understand he was, like, at an ankle injury or something. He didn't play.
He's out for the
and
year.
It sounds like it kicked him off the team. The dude from D.C.,
Darius Miles,
approached the woman and tried to have a conversation with her. I guess she rebuffed him. And then he came back, like, a few minutes later and started shooting into the car.
Well, there were shots fired from the car as well.
Okay.
So one of them was shot. I don't think it was Miles, because when you see him arrested, he's not walking with a limp or anything. So it might have been the other guy.
Right.
So there were shots fired from the car as well. That doesn't mean that they didn't shoot first.
So were they both in cars when they were shooting at each other, or was Miles walking around?
I think Miles was outside of the vehicle
with the gun in his hand firing.
They didn't say who shot into the car yet.
I find it hard to believe that a SEC kid like that, you know, the big time program, is going to walk around with a gun and shoot somebody.
It's happened before.
I know. I just find it hard to believe.
Oh, it's monumentally stupid, is what it is.
I find it more likely that the other guy who has nothing to lose would be shooting from the car, and Miles is with him. I don't know. I just find that more likely to believe.
Well, I think from what the eyewitness, because I think the eyewitness is, she was with her boyfriend, the girl was.
Right.
And Darius tried to flirt with her. She wasn't having anything of it. He got bitter and walked up and started shooting or something.
Yeah.
It's just hard for me to believe that he did that, but if you say so, I understand.
Well, he's probably drunk. I'm guessing everybody was intoxicated.
Yes, probably been drunk.
Just think about it.
It's at 1:45 a.m.
You still know it's a gun.
I mean, you're getting a full scholarship. Who knows if you graduate, but you graduate with
a
degree.
You go play somewhere.
Maybe you play overseas or you get a job. I mean, now he's going to go to jail for the rest of his life.
For 50 years.
And the other Darius Miles, who played for the Clippers amongst many other teams in the NBA, now has a name associated with this Darius Miles.
Right. He's probably getting like texted by 1,000 people.
I'm still amazed that Jerry Sandusky, the Ravens announcer who I listened to for a few minutes,
right,
he didn't change his name or throw in an initial or something.
It's hard.
I know, and he's established.
I forgot about the other Sandusky, right?
Oh, I think that name lives in infamy.
I know, for Penn State people, but kind of.
Oh, I don't think it's just for Penn State people. I think that's like a nationally renowned.
But like
course.
For Baltimore people, they know Jerry Sandusky forever.
Know.
And that's really all that matters. For Baltimore people, right? They're not thinking of
he's doing the games with Torrey Smith.
Yeah. If I were him, I would have just changed my name. Like, I'm Jerry Sandy.
It's hard.
Well,
Jerry, your whole identity.
I'm Jerry Dusky.
Could you change John Oliver? If there was like a serial killer,
I'd be okay changing it. My name's not great.
I'm surprised you changed it already.
Go by your middle name, John Martin.
John Martin.
Yeah, John Martin.
Or Johnny.
Just flows better.
Or like his old business card.
I can't be
Johnny Cakes.
I'm not Johnny Cakes. It can't be Johnny.
John Cakes Allville.
I'm not a preschooler.
Well,
Cakes, you going to the Caps game tonight?
I am not. I'll watch it on TV, though.
No.
B. Mitch and
he's
going
to ask for a dozen tickets.
Next, here on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.